Hey everyone, it's your producer Lucy. This is a very special bonus episode, a mini version of our podcast. But before we get there, I wanted to let you know that we're doing a show on August 23rd, which Jess describes as a
crazy live hybrid show at the Waldorf Astoria in New York City that's going to be open to anyone around the world, featuring the ladies of Freestyle Love Supreme. And it's benefiting the Freestyle Love Supreme Academy.
So if that interests you, get your tickets now. Go to bit.ly/freestylelove. And now, the podcast.
Welcome to Conversations Around Conversations about the conversations we just had on the Clubhouse app earlier today.
This is Tech Theater, Clubhouse Conversations, a podcast to continue that conversation. Because every week on Clubhouse, we have these amazing discussions with brilliant people who sit at the intersection of technology and theater.
We only have an hour on Clubhouse, so we're always walking away from these talks with so many additional thoughts we don't have time to get to. So we decided to share those on this podcast. Welcome to Tech Theater Tuesdays. What are we talking about today on our podcast about our Clubhouse conversation?
I mean, let's take it all the way back to the beginning, digital playbills.
We talked about the pros and cons of digital playbills in theater. We got talking about a news article about a really cool company called Marquee Digital.
Wait, so quickly, tell me about your collection of playbills. Do you keep all of them? Do you have a ton? I think I own like literally one playbill. It's probably to Hamilton because I'm basic like that.
Yes. My first trip here was in 1996, so we still have those playbills. I saw Cats, Bring in the Noise, Bring in the Funk, Miss Saigon, Beauty and the Beast. And I wasn't kidding. So I have the, I forget which IKEA bed I have, but it has drawers, like big, huge drawers underneath it. And that's one of them is entirely playbills. Like the drawer is how many feet wide? Oh, you can't see any of this. I don't know. It's like 4 feet wide. I'm bad at measuring things. And it's really deep. And yeah, I keep all of my playbills. I would like a better solution. Like when our friends and collaborator, Steph Cowan, was like, I scan all of my playbills. I was like, oh my God, why didn't I think about that before? That's ridiculous. Cause it's just like drawer full of playbills, but yeah, it's pretty cool.
But like, does scanning the playbills actually like bring you the same joy? Like what's the value of having those sitting under your bed? Is it just like that you know they're there? Do you ever like open that drawer and be like,
I do.
Ah, smells like playbills.
No.
Close the drawer and
no.
Go dance Cats.
No. So I think everybody keeps them in order to tell the stories later on down the road, right? And remember, like, oh my God, that one. In fact, actually, this is the second use case. My friend Dana, who has a podcast that's amazing called Cocktails at Table 7, she texted me out of nowhere the other day, and she was clearly like trying to go on the hunt to get someone to come on the podcast. She was like, remember that time we went and saw Betty Buckley at Feinstein's, and it was either John or Jason that was working sound, and we got to go backstage. These are our two friends. And I was like, I can't remember which one of them was it, because I always got them mixed up. But I went looking for that playbill to try to figure out who it was, right? Because like you can revisit, or like now I'm like, who are my friends that I saw in these shows that I had no idea?
And so like a digital playbill would like fit the bill.
I would much rather have a digital playbill. Here's why. The playbill conundrum is real for particularly New Yorker theater people because we have no space. But you keep your playbills because you like want to reference things and you want to remember things and you want a record of like this incredible history you've been a part of. I would much rather have a beautiful, interactive, digital piece of art playbill that I can look at anytime, go into my archive online. I don't need the paper. I don't need the paper.
You heard it here first. Jess is throwing away all of her old playbills. I really enjoyed the idea of, okay, everyone gets a digital. I can opt into a paper one if I really want it and sort of, you know, fragmenting it out, giving people options and allowing them to opt in. Because people like me, I'm like, well, I don't really need a playbill. But if I had a digital one, I would keep it, certainly. And like for like the paper savings and just like the cost reduction, and I want to take us that direction of like one of the superpowers of digital things is like infinite space for basically no monies. Like obviously you still need to design it and there's people who need to be paid and the app needs to be created, but you're no longer like literally mass producing thousands, if not millions of these paper like high gloss programs.
Producing, shipping, storing.
The superpower that comes with that reduction of cost is like the potential creativity that comes out of that. And we got a bit into this on Clubhouse, and I hope we'll do it justice. But just the idea that you could do more different, better, have unique or individualized playbills, or, you know, a special run with a special artist for just this week, and like all the directions that could take. And I was curious if you had any other sort of thoughts, ideas, like fanciful dreams of what could be possible now that it's like more cost effective to actually create more different types of these playbills.
Yeah, I'm pretty keen on the idea that was thrown out, that like your first, you get this subscription, right? Like it's a thing that keeps showing up once you've seen the show. Because I talk about this often with folks and have for a long time. There's like only a couple of touch points. It's less true now, I suppose, but with a Broadway show, when you buy your ticket, it's like you get your Ticketmaster or Telecharge email and you go to the theater. But the life cycle of the way a musical makes money extends so far beyond the Broadway experience, right? The money really gets made in like when then it's licensed to do in your hometown, wherever you came from, when you went to New York and you go to see that tour stop in your city and you buy the cast recording, right? And you, I don't know, subscribe to the YouTube channel or whatever it is. So the idea that a show property, particularly one, you know, that has a long life, a long shelf life, can continue to touch its customer through that distribution channel in a creative way that is artistic and that leverages all of the minds and talents around that show, it's pretty freaking cool. Like, I think that's awesome. And I realized that a question I didn't ask today, but I wish I had, not that anyone's going to have the answer, but is that we were talking about like business models and like, could we even actually get a Big We, not Broadway Unlocked, but a Big We. Could we get a digital playbill like what Joe is suggesting off the ground because of unions and costs for talent and negotiations around that stuff? Because, you know, they don't like screens. And I wonder how much money you save by getting rid of the manufacturing, shipping, and storage part of the playbill business model. And if that's enough to cover whatever needs to be built to handle those new parts of a digital playbill business model.
Yeah. I think your point about like the revenue potential, like top line revenue potential. So yeah, if we're talking like bottom line revenue, where it's like the boring stuff of like, oh, you're saving on your paper costs and your shipping costs, but like the top line of like, oh, you can build and kind of like spark the fandom, spark the intensity of desire to purchase additional things or come back to the show, or yeah, see it when it's on tour, or, you know, buy into whatever that new exclusive digital art product that's created as part of the run of the show. Like, I feel like that's the selling point, is all those different potential touch points and the growth of the fandom and the stickiness that comes with like getting into people's phones and then hitting them up again and again and again to be part of that community.
I mean, I just had this thought, and I also don't know how I didn't bring this up for you. Like, it's Substack for theaters, but instead of trying to force a bunch of theater people into reading newsletters, which fuck that, you just put the Substack model into a thing they already, a distribution path they already are invested in, which is the playbill, like the program. Hello.
Hello.
Do we have a new business? Can we not put this out?
Here, just so I don't forget it. Idea that just came to me was a physical picture frame that pulls in and displays all of your digital playbills. So it's like, oh, I go to all these shows, I get all these digital playbills, there's all this beautiful content, I connect my accounts, and now I have a physical representation that sort of cycles through these beautiful images. It reminds me every once in a while of like, oh yeah, cats. Ah, love the cats.
That doesn't work, and I'll tell you why, but in the normal model is because playbills are fucking ugly, because Playbill, the company, it's just branded Playbill, and it's an ad, like I was saying today, it's an ad delivery mechanism. There aren't beautiful photos in there. There's like the one like cover art, basically, but it's got that giant yellow Playbill plastered. And what you have when you Substack your digital programs into a communication channel is maybe you can make art, and it's all of a sudden no longer, you know, this single family. They're another legacy institution, you know, in protecting their sort of gate. And I love, as ever, the idea of creating a product that amplifies the creator instead.
I agree that that would be nice.
So you put ours into a frame.
I contest that, you know, the Natalie Renfros of the world would love to see a playbill, that big yellow graphic that reminds them of the show they went
She's
to.
She's going
to
be so
New
offended.
York City.
Oh my God, she's going to be so offended you offered her up, and offended that you then represented her as like some weird Minnesota Southern hybrid person?
Take it out, Lucy. Take it out.
Oh, no. Leave absolutely not.
But no, I do think people like that. It is iconic.
Yeah.
And jaded Jez Ryan may not like it on hers.
No, it's just like, I like my house to look nice. I don't want a fucking ugly ass playbill prominently displayed. That's stupid. I mean, it's not stupid because I have a lot of friends who've decorated their houses to go with the playbill motif, I will say, but.
Point for Joe. Lizzie, are you keeping score?
Wait, I can't believe you're not jumping on this Substack thing. This is like your obsession, and I feel like this is a very good idea on my part.
Oh, yeah, I got thrown by you verbing Substack in the way that you did. I am into it. Where I got caught with it was the reason Substack works is because it connects to people's email, and everyone has an email. But for something like this digital playbill thing, this digital playbill entity, like, what is the delivery mechanism? Is it an app? Does it get saved to your camera roll? Like, what is it's like not clear to me, and that's where I get a little lost on it. Not that I need to figure out this answer right now for this great idea.
That's fair.
But I am so curious, for anyone listening to this podcast, we want this conversation to keep going, and they only keep going if you keep the chain going. So join us in this conversation. Hit us up on Twitter at @bwayunlocked. That's BWY unlocked, and you can use the hashtag techtheaterch to share your thoughts.
And of course, join our next conversation Tuesday at 12:55 Eastern on the Clubhouse app. Raise your hand, jump in, and share your thoughts.
And if you want to come moderate a show with us, you can pitch your idea at broadwayunlocked.com/ch.
We are very much looking forward to seeing you on the tweeters, on the CH, on the Apple Podcasts. But until then, we'll see you next week.
Bye.